Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Everybody, thank you for joining us again on the Inspire Health Podcast. And today we've got a beautiful conversation ahead. We are talking to John Young and Sarah Fontaine. And John Young is an expert mentor, tracker, naturalist, author of this beautiful book that Taya just put up called The Coyote's Guide to Connecting with Nature, something that our kids have been following in detail over the past year. And
what 3 years.
Holy cow, that just goes by way too fast. Yeah, for like the past 3 years. John's an author and storyteller, mentored in deep nature connection by Tom Brown Jr. and a host of elders and experts. And he's also the author of a book called What the Robin Knows. And so we're going to dive into the importance of nature and integration with nature, and as far as our emotional regulation, sensory integration. And Sarah, who's joining us as well, is an energy work practitioner, wildlife tracker, and interspecies communicator, which I would love to hear a little bit more about. For over 25 years, she has practiced a number of healing modalities, including chakra work, cranial sacral therapy, traditional Chinese medicine, and five element theory, emotional clearing, and specifically work around polyvagal theory and somatic trauma therapy. So we're going to have a wonderful conversation and diving into all of this. So guys, thank you so much for joining us. And this series, for people that are paying attention, we are coming to the end of our series on living freely. And this has been...
This episode, I think, is going to be a bit of a soothing balm after our last episode with Dr. Anna.
Holy cow. Yeah. I think this is going to get us back to the heart of where I think actually a lot of healing takes place and is actually an essential foundation for healing to take place, is our connection to nature. So John and Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Really glad.
Thanks for having us.
So I would love to hear, you guys can, however you guys want to sort of break it up here, but I would love to hear just your story a little bit. I mean, John, we came across your work through the Coyote's Guide when we were looking for alternative ways of nurturing our kids. And that's when we came across your work.
Well, I think actually it was really interesting because we're on the island, on Vancouver Island in Canada, West Coast Canada. And all the teachers with whom we randomly, not so randomly, connected with had done training with your approach with the coyote mentoring. And we weren't even aware of it until we started to recognize how it is that they were actually moving through their day with the children within the forest, by the water, and what activities they were engaging in. And we noticed commonalities, and then we started asking questions as far as what their background was and what sort of trainings they did. And they all pointed to Coyote Mentoring Program. And so I started to research a little bit more about what that is and what that entails. And I came across your TED Talks video, which just won over my heart. And we'll actually put the link under this video as well for those who are interested. I highly recommend you check that out. So this episode is for parents, it's for grandparents, it's for educators, it's for caregivers. It's really for anybody who cares about our future, because essentially the way in which we tend to take care of and show up for our future generation is essentially vital in the type of future that we want to create for all of us on this planet. So We're so excited for this episode because I really feel like what you've been offering John and Sarah as well for the past long while, I feel like people are now really thirsty and hungry for and yearning for.
And recognizing the necessity,
the importance
for
it. Of it.
I really feel like we've kind of hit a point where this is absolutely essential right now. So John, why don't we start? Can you tell us a little bit about how the Coyote Mentoring platform began and
what your background is and how you stumbled across the importance of, you know, living this way?
Wow, that's a big question. So let's see what I can do to make this short and sweet. So I had this very, I guess, you know, it felt normal childhood on the edge, kind of a 45 minutes, hour away from New York City, lots of farms and orchards and woods and fields around. And my sister and I had the benefit of both my parents having parents that were alive and interested in helping raise the family. So I had a lot of time with grandparents on both sides, sometimes all of them at once, which was also really fun. And sort of the Irish ancestors on my dad's side, the Polish Lithuanian on my mother's side. But the thing they all had in common was that they all grew up on farms and they all enclaved in their culture when they first arrived in the US. So they kept a lot of their cultural spirit alive. And my grandmother on my dad's side, Cecilia McCormick Young, was an incredibly gifted mentor. So she raised us to really connect to nature. Like nature was her number one go-to. So, you know, by the time I was 10, I've had a more than average deep connection journey with nature compared to my peers, right? That whole menagerie of animals and things that I was tending. And I was always, you know, rehabbing wildlife and, you know, letting it go again and raising baby birds and all that kind of stuff. And then when I did a lot of fishing as a boy and I brought a lot of fish home for dinner, from my grandmother would encourage me and help me cook the dinner. And, you know, it just made me feel really valued. And just, she was so cool at catching my stories and asking me great questions. And got to that age of 10 and all the other kids that were older than me had kind of left the woods and they were going into organized sports. And I thought, I guess I got to go into organized sports to follow all the cool kids. But I had this feeling in my body, there's something more I'm supposed to learn from nature. There's some other thing I'm supposed to do. It's supposed to be deeper. And I was longing for that next mentor. And I very synchronistically met Tom Brown on the street corner. And Tom had been raised since the age of 7 by an elder Apache who had never given up the ways of his people. In fact, when a lot of people were rounded up and put on reservations, he joined with enclaves of Apaches that kept it going, you know, secretly. And, you know, so Tom was told by his mentor, you have to find someone to pass it on the way I passed it on to you. And you'll know him by the sign he carries. So I happened to meet Tom on the street corner. I had a big giant snapping turtle and he drove up and saw me there and asked me what I had. And I told him it was a common Eastern snapping turtle because he was a stranger to me. And, he wrote to me 10 years later when I turned 21. Because he was 21 when I met him. And he said that I saw a boy on a street corner. And when he told me common Eastern snapping turtle, it was only half an answer. And did I understand that the turtle represented Mother Earth? And so what he saw was a boy with Mother Earth on a string. And he said, I wonder if this is the boy that Stalking Wolf predicted that I would meet. So he kind of put me through a little bit of a test period, you know, where he just kind of checked, what am I willing to do? What am I motivated to do? You know, what do I know already? He really kind of interviewed me in an interesting way and decided to take me on, you know, and he just passed away in just a few months ago. And after 53 years of being my mentor, you know, and we kept in that relationship for those years. And he was an extraordinarily gifted mentor. And obviously, Stalking Wolf was an extraordinarily gifted mentor before him, and he was passing on what now is in that book, Coyote's Guide to Connecting with Nature. This is what Tom called coyote teaching. So he brought me on this really intense journey. That's where I learned to become a tracker. This is where I learned all the bird language. This is where I learned about all the plants and medicines and herbs and survival skills and you know, basketry and all the skills that come with living with the earth. And I ended up working at a school in 1978 when I graduated high school. And I was trying to imagine what I was going to be when I grew up. And I started to really think about my upbringing between my grandmothers and Tom Brown. There was a legacy of mentoring that I felt had great value that a lot of people were missing. And I wanted to make sure that I could get it out to as many people as possible. So I kind of created my own major at Rutgers University and studied indigenous cultures all over the world to see what they all had in common in their way of connecting their kids to nature. And that's how my work started. And so in 1983, I opened my first project, and I've been gone ever since. And now I'm completely unemployable because the only thing I know how to do is this, you know, how to guide people and connecting deeply with nature. So in recent years, Sarah and I teamed up to create the, with Nate Summers, to create the Living Connection First Village, where we now have people all over the world who are learning methods to, you know, they're all adults for the most part, you know, so we're helping them understand how to bring this to their communities and their families. And we love it. It's kind of the best thing I've ever done.
That's wonderful. Sarah, how did you start to integrate? I mean, you started off for many years in the healing arts and a whole list of different ones that you've incorporated. And then at the same point, you've got this naturalist training under your belt as well. How did you kind of merge those two, and why? What did you find the benefit of marrying those things together?
Well, I had the great fortune of having parents who loved nature and still to this day primarily look to nature for all of their forms of entertainment. And so I grew up in nature in Maine, first in a small town just northwest of Auburn Lewiston. And then during my, you know, ages like 8 to 14, I had the opportunity to live on a small island off the coast of Maine called Chebig. So long story short, spent all my time in the woods and near the ocean. So nature connection was just very natural, right? It was who I was. Like John also has that shared experience of growing up, having been completely nature connected. And then moving into high school, yes, I did the sports thing, still was super nature connected. I noticed not everybody was as interested in nature as myself. So I still had that part where I would always go to nature, but it was often very alone. Especially for that deep nature connection experience where I had this intimate relationship with the forest and the ocean that most of my peers didn't share. So to get to that level of the felt sense of connection, I would often be alone. And in order to have a tribe, right, moving into college and meeting new people where people were doing other things, there was a separation that continued to kind of occur between myself and nature, and got to a point where I realized in my early 20s, I can't feel that feeling of connection that I know as a child, that I knew as a child, that I remember, and that I know in my being is what's real and what's healthy for me. So that point, and I had been through trauma that had created a deepening of that separation, where with trauma, right, we become desensitized, right, become dissociated from our presence and our actual ability to experience the present moment. So it was those things that awareness of separation, when it hit me, it made me afraid, that feeling of separation where, oh my gosh, I can't, when I actually go to the ocean, I'm not feeling that soothing that I know is available. And how do I get back there? How do I open myself back up to be able to feel that? It was really scary for me. It reminds me of like the sense of abandonment, like in an infant not having their mother anymore, that level of fear of separation. So that's why I went into the healing arts, mainly to heal myself first. And then, you know, I didn't expect actually to stay in the healing arts for more than 5 years. And, you know, 20 years later, I finally retired into this weaving with nature connection. So nature connection has always been there. And I started getting serious about practicing with that point of felt sense separation. First, I went to long distance hiking, where I hiked 5,000 miles looking for the sense of connection, right? I hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, which is 2,500 miles from Mexico to Canada through California, Oregon, Washington, and then 1,800 miles on the Continental Divide Trail through New Mexico, Colorado, and Wyoming. And yes, those were profound experiences, but they didn't actually bring me to that place of connection in the way that I knew it was possible. And so it was then in 2014 that I had known John's work. I went to the Tracker School in 2006. And so this was already part of my awareness. But in 2014, I got off the Continental Divide Trail and I committed to myself, what I really want is this communication with nature, communication with the animals, and I'm committing to the practices, which brought me into where I am now, and wildlife tracking being one of the main practices that we do and that we find is one of the most powerful in returning to that felt sense of connection.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Wow, Sarah, I feel like what you just described is kind of like the microcosm of the macrocosm of the entire world right now and what we're kind of moving through with regards to feeling disconnected, disassociated, moved away from, abandoned by mother. And perhaps us abandoning mother, whether that be, you know, Mother Nature or Mother Earth or a benevolent force that we have walked away or turned our backs to. Didn't it kind of seem to you as she was?
It totally did. I was thinking the same thing. I think what was really important that you mentioned was then you immersed yourself in many ways in nature, but still had a hard time getting that connection. So I think the question, because I feel like this is a lot of people, I like, we'll even go down to the beach and I'll see a lot of people there sitting on a log, just looking at their screen or something.
And turn their back away.
And even their
back
away from the ocean. So sometimes people can be in nature, but not necessarily fostering that connection that we're basically talking about. So I think probably the next question to come up would be probably two part, and maybe you guys can go back and forth, but how do we genuinely start to facilitate this connection to nature that I think is at the heart of what we all require and we all need to heal? I mean, my honest belief is that if we are all, you know, as a populace, if we deeply start to connect to nature, the vast majority of any of the world problems would start to shift because we would just see everything through new eyes. But how do we arrive at that? I mean, you spend you know, I mean, I can't even imagine, but hundreds and hundreds of hours probably just in nature and still having troubles connecting in the way that you needed to. So how do we facilitate that connection? And why, from your perspective, is that so essential to have that connection?
Mention something really quickly. I remember, just briefly, I'll say this because it speaks to how a lot of us may have even forgotten the relevance of that, or how nature can even play a part with our healing. But I remember for a period in my own journey, in my own life, I was going through, and within a span of 5 years, a dark night of the soul. And I remember I just felt like what helped me most was just to go to the backyard, beyond the backyard of my parents' home, where there was a ravine. And I would just walk through that ravine over and over, and I would just lie down on the rock and just look at the clouds. And that felt the most nurturing for me at that time, and stabilizing and regulating on my emotions and nervous system. And I remember conveying this, and I was in interior decorating at the time, and I remember conveying this to one of my colleagues, and she just looked at me blankly, and she said, "Well, how does looking at the trees or the clouds help you? Like, what does that have to do with it? Like, why don't you just go shopping and you know, buy nice clothes and
something practical?"
And I didn't know how to necessarily convey that, but I said, "Well, you know, if you actually look at a tree, you'll be able to see so much more detail and vividness that you hadn't noticed before." And that to me was just calming, and I didn't have an answer more complicated or beyond that at the time. But yeah, how does nature play a part in our healing? And then going back to your question, I apologize if I jumped in on that, but I just thought of that story.
Yeah, no, I think that I remember you telling me that story before too. But yeah, just around how do we start the process of facilitating that deep connection that you're talking about, and why is it so essential that we do?
So first thing to remember is that when we were born with a nervous system that literally expected that nature connection would be what the culture provided. So, you know, I see these, what I call the attributes of deep nature connection. This sort of helps you know that you've arrived, you know, because it's not really like a destination. It's not like passing a test or something like that. You know, it's a state. It's a state. It's a state change in our being. And so it's good to know what the markers are. How do I know if I am connected? Because connection is not something that, you know, our science, our social norms has looked at very much. It's starting to emerge in a lot of different fields, which is very exciting to me. But, you know, these attributes of connection are, one, we become much happier, like the happiness of a child, that innocent happiness. Two, vitality, like we have an abundance of electricity in our body. Three, we are able to listen really well to others, you know, from a really quiet place within. And then four, we develop empathy, which is the sign that we are connected, because we really begin to feel the earth, which is something that, you know, you were referring to earlier when you expressed, Jason, that if everybody in the world got connected to nature, the world would change. I 100% agree with that. I often say that, you know, if everybody could just do the basics, even 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there every day, the world would literally become a different place, quite literally. Because when we develop that connection and that empathy, we start to feel what's going on around us, and we start to feel responsible for it, you know. And so that's number five. We want to take care of the people in our lives better. We want to take care of the earth better. And that's just intrinsic. It's not a mental choice. It emerges from your core. I want to help. I want to be part of the betterment of the world for the future generations. That's just natural. And then, you know, the sixth attribute is when people become, they have reverential awe, you know, as kind of a, they walk around stunned by the amazingness of this planet, you know, and the, what life is so amazing. I can't even believe I get to live on this incredible planet with all these amazing things around me, all these beings and gorgeous sunsets and stars and moon, you know. they become a life full of wonder and gratitude just spontaneously again. They then grow the seventh attribute. They grow a capacity for compassion and love. And then the eighth attribute, which we call the keystone attribute, is the attribute of the quiet mind, you know, so kind of like mindfulness combined with sensory integration, combined with deep sensory awareness. What that does is it stills the mental chatter and opens up this portal to the what's going on within our creative zone, within our intuition. And, you know, at that point, people's genius rises, you know, their unique, special, you know, who they are really comes to the surface. So these attributes are indicators, you know, and when I work with people, I work until I see all those eight really normalized, emergent in that person, where they understand where they're coming from, how they got to them. So each of those attributes can be lifted up and exercised, you know, sort of a little bit like occupational therapy. You know, if you want to improve this motor function, then you do these activities. Well, if you want this attribute of vitality, you do these things in nature, and this is where it will come from, right? So there's a lot of ways to connect people to nature. And I would say that the place to start is always the place where that person wants to, right? So maybe they walk their dog and that is their avenue, or maybe they like to garden and that's their avenue. Well, maybe they feed birds or they like to birdwatch. That's their avenue. So you really have to kind of meet people where they're at. That's the unfortunate part of mentoring. It's like, okay, there's no sort of one size fits all. You really have to have a wide range of tools to assess where people are at, see what they're passionate about, meet them there, and then find ways to integrate that. But the one thing which is our go-to, you know, we always say this to everybody all the time. If you want to do this, start right outside your door. Literally, if you say, I have to get in a plane and fly to Mount Rainier National Park and go on a hike to the mountain peak in order to connect to nature, we're dead in the water, right? Because nature connection only happens, you know, it's neuromuscular patterning, right? So how, you know, just like the guitar hanging behind me, you don't learn it by picking it up and saying, I'm going to play the guitar. You know, you've got to do some neuromuscular patterning, right? You got to learn how to make chords and scales and rhythm and all that. So nature connection is the same, you know, and if practicing it means going on these adventures into nature, or in Sarah's story, you know, hiking the whole, you know, Continental Divide Trail, right? And then realizing at the end of it that it didn't scratch the itch of nature connection. It's so ironic that nature connection is literally right outside our door. So I always tell people, get yourself a chair, put it outside your door, and, you know, maybe put some potted plants around it if you're in the city. But start there, because if you have 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there, if you take your morning tea there, if you have to be on a Zoom call and you don't have a lot to do, but your Wi-Fi reaches outside the door, you know, sit there instead of the desk, right? Like, begin to get to know your neighbors. You referred to my TED talk earlier in our conversation before we started here, but I described this journey that the Bushman taught me about, which is, you know, the first time we sit outside our door, we see a bird that comes and lands on the patio. And we're like, oh, cool, a bird landed on my patio. Well, what kind of bird? I have no idea. It's a little brown bird, right? Tomorrow, the little brown bird comes back and you're like, wow, I think that's the same little brown bird. And you kind of recognize each other. There's a thread that forms between you and that little brown bird. Well, over the course of the week, someone kind of tips you off that, oh, that little brown bird also has a dark gray head. Yeah, oh, that's a junco. Oh, cool, what's a junco? And you look it up and you read about it. And now the thread is a string. Then you start to realize it's a male junco, and then you start to realize he's got a mate. And so now that you see them, you know, feeding each other and preening each other, and you're like, oh, that's really special. That reminds me of how I am with my partner, you know, and whatever. And, you know, the cord becomes a rope over time. We develop connection slowly but surely. But once we develop that connection with this bird on our patio, that bird starts to tell us things. For instance, you know, we're watching the bird hop, do what it always does every day. We see it always doing those same things. And one day it flies up and lands on a bush and makes a noise and then flies off. And you're like, oh, I wonder if I scared it. Then a moment later, a cat comes trotting by. And then you start to say, wow, did that bird just tell me about a cat? Wow, could that be? you know, and then you see that pattern a few times and you're like, wow, the junco can tell me when the cat is coming. I wonder what else that junco can tell us. And now you want to get to know the cat. And then you want to get to know the squirrels and the trees. And little by little, you build relationships with all the things around you. You know, Grandfather Stalking Wolf used to say, if there was only one thing I could teach a person to get him on this journey, just one thing, and that's all I had time for, and it was only one thing, what would it be? And it is this. It's what he calls the sit area. Go to a place every day, build relationships there. And while you're building relationships, expand your senses. You know, it's kind of that simple. But the other thing that really helps this journey is what Sarah and I are currently doing with Living Connection First Village. When you come back from having your experience in nature, your ancient nervous system that you were born with basically is telling you, it's kind of screaming at you inside like a longing. I need to tell my story to somebody. And the reason we have to tell our story, why our nervous system is asking us to, is because if we don't tell the story, the experiences don't integrate. They just kind of fly off. They leave our short-term memory and they don't become rooted in our nervous system. And so we're designed for these, something else that came from Stalking Wolf is that there's two halves to the wheel of this. We have the experience, which is one half, where we use our senses and we build those relationships. The other half is when we come back and tell the story to somebody and integrate. And that person we tell it to, whether it's, you know, my grandmother when I was a boy or Tom Brown when I was older, I'd tell them the story, they'd ask me good questions, and they'd send me off on another experience, right? And that's our nervous system is literally set up to respond really powerfully to that. So I'll just conclude by saying that over the years, I worked with a lot of people who were really into nature, but they didn't care for people too much. In fact, a lot of people had rough experiences with people, and that drove them into nature. So they're basically solo in nature. And I always thought, oh, these are the people that will do really well on this deep nature connection journey. But as I started to work with groups over the years, I've been at this for 40 years, I had this awakening one day when I realized, you know, it's the people who come and bond with two or three other people that go on the journey together. They go much faster on the journey than the solo people. And it's because they share stories with each other and they share experiences and they stimulate each other's curiosity and they ask each other questions and it causes growth, you know. And in my time spent with the San Bushmen, Sarah and I were just with them just the last week. It seems crazy, but literally 10 days ago, we were with the San Bushmen in the Kalahari. You know, when you see them, this is exactly what they do. And they represent the oldest cultural lineage on the planet. They've been doing this for 200,000 years and they never go alone into nature. They always go in twos or threes. And they catch each other's stories and they stimulate each other's curiosity and they join together in learning and connecting in this most profound way. And you can see this ancient nervous system just flourishing in them. And, you know, of course, if you're in their presence, it affects how you feel and you get right in there with them. You know, it's very contagious. So
the Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
journey.
That's beautiful. So it almost makes me think of the importance of, you know, interdependence as opposed to independence, which we oftentimes throw on our children and emphasize as being like one of the most important traits for them to cultivate.
Well, and it's also like the gifts that come with genuine bonds of affection that are being formed. So whether that's with the bird that then shares the gifts, or whether it's the other people that then they share the gifts, but it's like it's through that sitting and just paying attention and listening, we develop these bonds of affections, and then all of the stuff that can come from those genuine bonds of affection. It's really beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Sarah, like for you, what I'd love to hear is, I mean, you spend a lot of time in things that I think most people would go, oh my gosh, that's like the epitome of nature connection, because you're right in there. What had to change? What was it for you that helped you click and make that connection reintegrate back again?
That's a really good question. And I think I'll start with the previous question and get to that place. So yeah, when John's talking about this ancient nervous system, right? It's our nervous system has evolved over millennia with nature. And the reason why we are a successful species is because of our relationships with other people, our tendency to cooperate. That is why we are human. That's why we are, you know, dominating the species list right now on the earth. So as John said, nature and other people, a sense of tribe, are our baseline expectations. And so we have to remind ourselves that currently in modern culture, many, maybe most of us are experiencing a very different sensory experience than we have evolved to, right? So there's way more people around us. There's way more artificial sounds and tactile experiences and smells and even tastes with our food. And it can feel to that part of our nervous system that's used to natural sounds and times of silence and natural, you know, interactions and activities. It can feel abrasive, or it can feel overwhelming or even traumatizing on many different levels of, you know, what trauma can mean. And on the, you know, one end of the scale, a minor trauma is maybe even a loud noise that makes you close down your awareness a little bit, right? So we've kind of moved into cushioning ourselves, our sensory experience, kind of numbing ourselves down. Because if we are totally open when we're at work and we're working, you know, in a busy building or in traffic or even at the grocery store, there's so much information that we actually like have to shut down our sensory awareness to a certain degree in order to function. I completely agree with your top two. How do we get people back into nature connection as being the sit area and then the sensory experience? So talking about the sit area, like Taya, you were talking about the thing that worked the best for you was the place in your yard that you went to, right? And so that's basically what we mean by a sit area is a place in nature where you can go and sink in, and acknowledging that reconnection takes time. So if we go to our sit area and we don't feel anything, that's actually normal. Bringing in the sensory awareness, which is a core routine that's very baseline, right there with the sit area, tuning into all of your senses in nature, you know, listening to the birds, listening to the natural sounds of the wind, feeling the plants, feeling the bark, feeling the earth under your body, smelling the smells, and relaxing your vision to pan out on the landscape and relax into the periphery. All those practices are a way of relaxing and opening our nervous system again to receive the nourishment from nature. And again, that awareness that it takes time. So if we've been having our senses bombarded for most of our life, and then we go to try to open them in nature, it's not always automatic that you're going to feel, oh, the bliss of nature is here for me. as we are healing, we will actually release those sensory memories of why did we shut down. That memory of the really loud noise or maybe yelling is in our sensory memory. So when we start to open, we start to release those experiences, and it can actually be uncomfortable for people. And people will then say, oh, I don't want to go to my sit spot anymore. That feels really uncomfortable to be alone with myself and all of that stuff that I've been holding for so long. So I really feel like that awareness is super important, that it takes time to recalibrate our nervous system to its ancient potential, right? And to actually experience the depth of the silence in our being, right? And be able to release the noises, you know, the static, the sensory static that we've kind of piled up around ourselves. So those two practices, along with support from people, because, you know, that experience, Taya, that you shared of your friend not, or colleague not getting it, right? Like not understanding, like, okay, why, why does that work? Like that can be, you know, you have enough behind you or enough resourcing and experience that you can see that, okay, well, we're in different places of understanding and experience. But as a young person, those can be devastating experiences. If you say, oh, I had this amazing, you know, interaction with a baby fox and somebody discounts it, right? Then you start to say, oh, people aren't safe, right? Oh, or I'm not okay to have this nature connection experience. So many, many people have had that where nature isn't important, or it's weird that you connect to nature, and otherwise devalued. So when I was on the Continental Divide Trail, we're about 1700 miles in, we're walking through the Great Basin in Wyoming, which is a daunting stretch of 130 miles through desert. There's nothing for 130 miles, which we did like 35 miles a day. So it was only like 4 days, but really long days. And so I'm like hiking alone. There's a group of 10 or 12 people that we were with, but I've gone ahead. I'm probably a mile or so ahead of everybody just because that's how it happens, right? And I'm hiking along and I'm suddenly seeing these big canine tracks. And I'm like, huh, those are really big canine tracks. We are not near a town. And I'm like, there's no other human footprints because I'm ahead of everybody else, right? But there's no human footprints associated with these tracks. There's no tire tracks. This animal is got a very focused pace, and you know, a domestic dog will kind of weave around and you know, not have such a straightforward trajectory on their trail. So I'm like feeling it in my body. I'm like, this is a wolf. This is totally a wolf trail. And I give myself goosebumps because it was so powerful. This was my first clear wolf trail that I had been on. And I got to follow it for like a half a mile. And then it veered off the road. So we were on a dirt road that it had, and it went straight for that half mile in a very consistent pace. And then it veers off the road. And I can see the tracks going straight in that direction. And what's over there is the river. The river is 10 miles away. But I know where it is right from the map, and I can almost see the edge of the valley where it goes down. So I stop, I wait for my friends to catch up, like all filled with electricity and like wondering if they're noticing what they're walking beside, and they all pile up and they've got their earbuds in. And I'm like, look, pointing at the ground, right? And so they take their earbuds out and I'm like, check it out. And they look at me and I'm like, those are wolf tracks. And like no response whatsoever. And I go into telling them why they're wolf tracks and why they're not domestic dog tracks, and thinking that they're actually interested. And like, there was like barely a grunt from the crowd. Like it was like, huh, earbuds back in. continue hiking. And I was like, wow, wow, I'm really different. And I honor that in myself, that I am so stoked about these tracks, that it is so meaningful to me. I can feel, I can see the wolf. Like, I'm having this deep connective experience and I don't get it, right? But I was, again, had enough behind me that I, instead of discounting my own experience, said, I need my tribe. I need my tribe. I need to know the people that this is meaningful to. And that's what I got in 96 when I, so this was 2014. In 96, when I read The Tracker, Tom Brown, he spoke to my child, and he spoke to it so powerfully, where he has had that depth of experience that was so magical in connection with nature that no one shared that with me at that time of my life when I was about 19 years old. And reading that book, it was like, oh, I didn't make that stuff up. Like, this person actually knows about my childhood. They experienced things that I experienced. And so it opened that possibility, right? That doorway of nature is magical. I was right. I'm not alone, you know? And then it took time for me to trust that people connection. I mean, it's still a process for me to really extend out into the human realm of connection, because as with many people, a lot of our traumas have to do with relationship, right? Have to do with the people. So healing in nature first was the way that I, my path took me. And then moving to including the people, again, it was honoring of time and pacing and what my nervous system could handle. And I know I'm speaking long, but I did want to get to the second question that you asked, Jason. So what made the switch for me? I got off the trail. I was adamant about learning nature, committing to wildlife tracking and animal communication. And when I got off the trail, I had read watched The Animal Communicator, which is an amazing documentary that Craig Foster made with John and Anna Breitenbach. And Anna Breitenbach is an amazing animal communicator. And in the film, it's her highlighting her amazing skill. And then it's John doing intuitive tracking. And I knew John's work. I was so interested in both of those people. I got off the trail in August. In October, I got an email that they were doing a workshop together. And I was like, wow, I can't not do that. It was in Scotland. I had no money because I was just off the trail, but I had to do it. And long story short, I was able to convince John to mentor me in tracking. He made me jump through lots of hoops. I was mentored by Josh Lane, John's apprentice, I would say, for the first part of my tracking experience. And in that is where that switch happened for me. So it was an 8-week program. Josh was mentoring me once a week, and I was to go out and find clear tracks of 27 unique mammals. And I was so into it. Like, I was only working a few hours, because that's the beauty of being a body worker. You don't have to work very many hours to make your living. So I had all this time to invest, and I was super invested. And there was one moment where I was out at one of my favorite tracking places. I had found coyote tracks, rabbit tracks. I was on the creek. I was looking at what I thought was a fox den. And then I saw where a small canine, I think the fox, had been laying down. And I was doing the sense meditation, which is part of the tracking routine as well. While you're tracking, you're using your wide angle vision to take in the elements of the landscape. You're using your nose to pick up on scents on the wind. you're feeling your, you know, how the wind is moving against your skin, and knowing which direction the wind's coming from. So I was in that place of full sensory expansion. And then when you're tracking, you're also, okay, the rabbit was there, and then the fox was over there, and then the coyote was over here. So I'm creating those threads that John was talking about earlier in the moment, all these different things, and the sun is here, and I'm smelling the ponderosa pine, and there's a squirrel alarming over here. So my threads are going in multiple directions all at once, and I had this experience of dropping into the center of it. That was so visceral. It could make me really emotional because I just stopped and I sat down and I let myself feel that feeling. Because it was that feeling that I had longed for, the feeling of being home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes me think of, that's really beautiful. It makes me think of Laszlo and the spiritual experiences. Mm-hmm. maybe you can speak a little bit of that and how he spoke of it, the importance of having spiritual experiences. And
it's that coming home. I think mm-hmm. you can have however you have a spiritual experience, but I think nature is a really powerful way to have a very organic spiritual experience of coming home, however you want to interpret that.
And it's like all barriers just break down, all fall down. Yeah. Any sort of construction that we had created in order to keep ourselves safe and small and protected, like all that just drops, and there's just that feeling of expansion and connection to everything that is. And that's just the
But you must have just felt like after going through that period of feeling the separation, then all of a sudden it just felt like you just got welcomed back into this loving embrace back home. All of the things that you felt were missing there that you came back to. So
this comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.